Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of InsurTech Building Blocks. This is Tim Robinson, and I'm accompanied with my co-host, Corey Schmidt. Hey, Corey, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you, Tim?
I am doing excellent. We are less than 24 hours returning from the Medicarians event in Las Vegas. So I guess if you can't see our bleary eyes or any of those type things, but hopefully our voices sound okay. So we're excited to cover off on some highlights from the Medicarians event from our perspective, as well as talk a bit about the latest CMS rulings, and that's the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, otherwise known as CMS. One, before we dive in here, one thing to note. Corey, are your ears still ringing from the event?
Yes. I think the one thing I will say, the Medicarians event was at the Fontainebleau, I think is how you say it, which was a fantastic property. I believe it just opened in December. You know, and one thing I dislike about Vegas is it's always loud. There's always, you know, too much noise in the background, whether it's slot machines, you know, music. But yeah, I think we had a specific experience with loud music where I didn't expect it, Tim, in terms of what I thought we were going to get.
Normally, when you think of a steakhouse, you think of white tablecloths, quiet mahogany booths. That is not the case at one of the places that you can eat at that restaurant. So if anyone didn't experience it and you like actually great steaks and really loud music, just bring your earplugs. But we had fun, but certainly I think all of us were happy when we left. So pretty amazing. And if you are looking for a $1,000 tomahawk steak, such a thing does exist at Pappy Steak at the hotel.
So not only does it exist, the level of pomp and circumstance by which it's brought out is pretty phenomenal. So I will say, like, it's a bit of an experience. I'm not sure I would do it again. And for the record, obviously, we weren't eating any $1,000 steaks, but you get to observe right. The people around you, you know, spending all kinds of dollars. And fortunately, we live here in the Midwest, so I think we can get probably equally good steaks for a tiny fraction of that cost.
that's a good call. So if you have any comments, if you experience Pappy Steak and you think differently, please let Corey and I know. Well, look, let's dive in. So Medicarians Vegas, roughly 3,000 attendees. We also had representation down at the LeedsCon show over at Paris. But really, Corey and I spent the bulk of our time at the Medicarians. Wow, there was a lot of discussion around, obviously, the latest CMS rulings. But before we dive into that, you know, this is my first Medicarians. I think I'm almost at my year anniversary here, or at my year anniversary with Agency Block. And what I thought was amazing is just the amount of energy and activity for our team at the booth, but also the great conversations, great opportunity to meet with other industry leaders, both from a technology perspective, carrier perspective, marketing organization, producers, both, you know, large shops, small shops. What a great way to get together with a really broad spectrum of thought leaders in the space. What are your thoughts, Corey?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I was really impressed by the diversity of the attendees this year, as well as what Medicarians, you know, included in terms of the panels and the speakers. Like, there was just a lot of different perspectives that they were highlighting throughout the show, and I thought it was really compelling. I fully expected it to continue to be more of an upmarket, like IMO, FMO, and carrier representation, but I think we're definitely seeing a lot of, you know, retail agents that are attending this particular conference. I think it's got a lot of momentum, it's got a lot of attention, and I think it's well deserved. They did a fantastic job putting on the conference.
Yeah, I agree that the panel discussions I really enjoyed. You know, candidly, in other industries that I've been in, and when you go to these conferences, there's not a lot of opportunity to go see a panel discussion of, let's call it, high quality or caliber, where the discussions are really meaningful. And I thought that really was a highlight for me and really resonated. So it was great to see. And then, all right, let's talk about the CMS ruling. And I know there is a lot of content that's been put out there. There's articles, podcasts, YouTube videos. There's a lot. And there's also a lot of differing views on what the latest ruling means. And so, you know, we're happy to share some of our thoughts, perspectives on it. Again, just from having conversations with a lot of folks that are spending a lot of time and energy on it. In case you've not taken a look, it is 1,327 pages of goodness. And, you know, what is interesting is that there some of the conflicting views are because the language in the document does conflict itself in a couple of areas. And I think there's the final publication will come out in late April, I believe April 23rd. So we'll see if there's some additional refinement that occurs there. But I also think, you know, Corey, from you've been in the industry for a little while. Have you seen this kind of energy around a CMS ruling just in the time, the 15 plus years that you've been in the space?
I'm not sure we've seen it to this level. I think that, you know, in the past, there have been some pretty significant changes that have come via CMS. Even just in the last couple of years, the call recording requirements created a lot of buzz and stir in the industry. And there have been other changes, you know, prior to that that were certainly significant. I think this one in particular seems like they have a motivation to try to shift some of the funding for the Medicare Advantage enrollments specifically to the retailers as opposed to the distributors, which, you know, it's an interesting approach. And I think that that's what I was most interested to hear about when, you know, when we were at Medicarians is, you know, we had a lot of conversations with IMOs, FMOs, many of those were customers of ours. And, you know, I was really interested to kind of hear what their take is. And I think that by and large, I will say there's more optimism than not about how they are viewing this. I think they feel like the final rule or the draft commentary that came out, the 1300 and some odd pages, provides for some ability for, you know, the marketing middlemen, the field marketing organizations to continue to be part of the hierarchy here in terms of how the structure, you know, works. But I think to your point, Tim, like there's a lot to be taken in terms of the interpretation. I certainly didn't read 1,327 pages. I don't think anybody on our team did, but I certainly went at some specific areas. And first thing I did was control F when I opened the PDF, and I'm looking for things like override and bonuses and, you know, IMO, FMO to see kind of what the CMS guidance was in terms of those kinds of changes, because those are really important entities and, you know, to our organization, as are retailers. Obviously, we serve both markets. But I think by and large, optimism is still the key term that I'm getting from the IMO FMO market. I think there's a lot to be clarified in terms of what CMS truly means by the transfer of funds. They use that terminology repeatedly throughout. They also, I think the interesting piece is they specifically kind of carve out the marketing organizations, but they also say that the compensation can't be related to the undertaking of enrolling someone into a Medicare Advantage plan. So I think what they're trying to disconnect is this carrier approach of paying based on like volume and or, you know, bonusing based on volume of enrollments into Medicare Advantage, but I have it be, you know, not connected to that, so that it's not driving, you know, agents and brokers to put beneficiaries in particular plans where they know they're going to get more compensation than not. So they're absolutely trying to level the playing field. They're trying to not tie it directly to the volume of enrollments onto particular products or carriers, which I think ultimately is probably better for the beneficiaries so that they get placed into the proper plan. And I know that that's what, you know, when we talk to retail agents, that's what they want. They want the beneficiaries to end up in the best possible plan that's available to them that, you know, optimizes their benefits and provides for the lowest out-of-pocket cost. And undoubtedly, that's what the, you know, insurance agent market really wants as well. So I think, yeah, to your original question, absolutely, it's a big deal. I think a lot of people are paying attention to this. I'm not sure we know fully what it means, but I think there's optimism that there are ways to make this work with the industry as it sits today.
Yeah, love the perspectives. And it's also, if I understand, there's a piece of this, which is trying to protect the consumer, the beneficiary from the leads rights from basically getting a lead capture, selling it 50 times, and then the poor beneficiary is, you know, getting hammered through email, phone calls. There's some examples of that we've all heard about. We probably even have family members or friends that have experienced it. So I think we can all agree that that's a very good thing. So I think that'll disrupt the leads and lead distribution markets. That was certainly something we talked about quite a bit as well. Some organizations are probably positioned really well where they already own kind of the marketing framework and capture and being able to, you know, distribute amongst their team in a more direct capacity. And I think that's good. That's good in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. I think, you know, in speaking with, again, some of those same IMOs, FMOs, they obviously understand there are some bad actors, you know, in the industry, and they want nothing more than to eliminate that. But they also don't want to have sweeping changes that affect the good parts of the industry and the parts of the industry that are enabling the carriers to get these products distributed, to build agent, you know, distribution channels. Because I think it is clear that the carriers don't want to have to work with every single downline retail agency. So these marketing organizations obviously serve a really important part of the industry. And I think that's something that we continue to see as you know, as the final ruling comes out on the 23rd and then we get interpretations. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
And I guess, you know, one thing that may be missed here, because the commission compensation piece is incredibly important. It's how business owners make determinations and where they can invest and continue to provide. Like, if you're investing in the business, you can do more things for your customers, right? Whoever your end customer, in this case, beneficiaries or your downline agents. And so, rightfully so, it is of a real concern. What are the changes in the flow of dollars that can be received? But I think what's probably taken a pretty significant backseat is some of the other changes that are highlighted here as well. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of those that you saw?
Yeah, I think the one that we maybe heard about the most is the changes that are, I think it's related to the Inflation Reduction Act as it relates to capping prescription drug costs on the PDP plans. At least that's the topic that seemed to be most prevalent at Medicarians. It sounds like to me that, you know, previously there was no cap on out-of-pocket costs on the PDP plans. And so they're implementing an out-of-pocket cap. I believe it's $2,000. I don't know if that varies based on the kind of plan, but at a high level, my understanding is, you know, previously, you know, using a Medicare supplement along with a PDP opened up more potential, you know, out-of-pocket costs if your prescription drug costs were high. My understanding is with these changes, there may be more benefit now to, you know, enrolling beneficiaries in a Medicare sup with a PDP. And so we could see a shift over to that side of the market. In fact, I think there's some folks that believe that, like, this is what the government or CMS and others are trying to actually do is sort of like tilt the balance back to Medicare supplement and or at least put them on a level playing field with the Medicare Advantage products. And again, I am by no means an expert. I don't claim to be. It's just we're, you know, this is something we're hearing a lot about at Medicarians. Yeah. And it seems to be that a lot of our customers I know are already considering like how they could diversify and make sure they're selling multiple product lines so that one change, you know, to a particular line of products, whether it be Medicare Advantage or something else in the future, isn't entirely disruptive and they don't have revenue concentration specifically on a particular product line. I think you maybe even experienced, Tim, even discussions around like supplementary and ancillary types of benefits.
Yeah, that's right. I think and anyone that's gone through this, I mean, the reality is there are a lot of ancillary supplementary benefits that most consumers, beneficiaries don't even know about. And this is kind of the tricky part, because the more you know about them, the more you use them, right? The idea is then you can lower the ongoing costs of healthcare. And I think it's a real opportunity. It gets overlooked. And I certainly, you can see some of the language in the ruling that's trying to address that, where it's requiring additional notification and education of the beneficiaries. And so I think that's a, I think it's a really good thing. And I hope that starts to get some additional traction there. I know that's, again, it's not just, we're in the space, whether as a enabler through technologies and solutions, or as the agent, or as the FMO, IMO, or as the carrier. So ultimately we can help, you know, help people. And so I think it's just really important that we embrace and understand there's a lot of education that has to happen for the beneficiary. And when that happens, we end up in a better place from being able to provide greater care.
I think that's a really key point for us as an organization. Obviously, we have always leaned in very heavily to the retail side of the market and ensuring that they can efficiently and effectively, you know, manage their book of business, engage with leads, convert sales. You know, it's really that core to our belief of how do we make our customers more profitable and more successful. And so I think to your point, like anytime there's disruption, everybody, you know, starts to look around and wonder how it's going to affect them. I will say, I think to the extent that we continue to lean into making the retail channels more successful, I think that that's a theme and a strategy I think that will continue to be successful, because there's a significant market here that needs to be served. There's a really important retail broker channel that's incredibly important to distributing those products. And so I think we'll need to, you know, continue to lean in heavily on that strategy. And also support other things like the supplemental and ancillary benefits, you know, supporting distribution of those. And I think we might even see a shift into some other markets as well. We've already seen the ACA under 65 market continue to grow. And I think that these kinds of changes always force people to kind of look around, even whether the change ends up being disruptive or not. I think just the fact that it's there and it's being discussed causes people to reevaluate their business, reevaluate revenue concentration, reevaluate their business strategy. And I think that's ultimately usually a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely agree. These points of disruption in industries generally create a lot of opportunity. It's just a matter of how in tune you are with the changes and where you can go next. So we'll see what the next, I don't know, 12 months or so has in store, maybe even broader. But yeah, these changes will impact the enrollment season coming up for coverage effective January 1, 2025. Hard to believe we're already talking about 2025, but that is the reality here. And Corey, you know, maybe as we wrap up here, I'm going to guess you have to turn the suitcase over to repack in much the same way that I am as we head off this weekend to Atlanta for our Block Builder conference. So I'm excited to go down there with the team. We're going to have customers, partners down there joining us. I think we're going to be well over 300 people in attendance. So really excited to continue these conversations, as well as continue to talk about our products and services and the future of Agency Block, and how to your points, how we can better serve the market, all that. And we really are focusing on helping all aspects of the market. So
I'm trying to regroup on all the things I volunteered to moderate or participate in and remember exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. But yeah, to your point, suitcase emptied, currently need to reload it, and then head out on an early flight Sunday to get ready. So, but I'm super excited. It's one of my favorite times of the year, getting to engage with our customers and hear directly from them, and not just the good, but also the bad, and the criticisms, how we can improve, and the feedback. And so I think it's really an incredible time for us. And I always come off of Block Builder really energized, and I expect nothing less this year.
Well, that's great. And I'll see if I can find a techno blend steakhouse down there for us as well. But it may not be lucky. That's a pretty unique thing. So
yes, maybe we'll have the conference of silence. No background music, no extra noise. We'll try to keep it. We'll try to recuperate our eardrums.
That sounds great. And as always, awesome to chat with you, Corey, and look forward to seeing you here in just a couple of days. And Neil, our producer, was kind enough to step in and help us pull this together quickly. So thanks, Neil. I think we'll do another quick one next week as well, just as a recap of the Block Builder event. With that, have an amazing, I guess this would be weekend that we're heading into. So I'm really just saying it to you, Corey. Have an amazing weekend, Corey. Everybody else, please keep the comments coming and look forward to giving you a recap of Block Builder. Take care, everybody.
Thanks all.